This is one phase of the project, one component of approvals. They've already received site plan approval. This is approval merely to make changes to the wetlands. So the project is already down the road. So you know. There have been major approvals already. Well, done deal is an appropriate phrase with a different attitude. Yes, there have been approvals already made for this project to move forward. This is another one that needs to happen. And it deals with one small component, which is important to you folks. It's important to us.
Well, yeah, it is important to us, but it would be important to us to get this settled before it goes forward, not after.
And that's what we're doing tonight. We're settling it tonight.
Oh, I was misunderstood. I thought tonight was final approval for the project.
Essentially, it is. But this is for the wetland issues only. The project site plan, the placement of the building, the parking lots, the driveways, the sidewalk, that's all done. Now we're just talking about what happens to the wetlands and the stormwater management and the retention basins.
Okay, so everything that's already approved is going to affect the stormwater management, right?
No, that's what we're doing tonight. The stuff... The building locations, the impervious surfaces are all known, yes.
Yes.
They're all part of this. But this has not been approved yet. This is stormwater management. That's what we're doing tonight.
I haven't heard anything about trees. I heard that some trees are going to be removed.
Mr. Deal.
Whatever
you had to.
Yes, I was going to add that for the site plan for the building, the parking lots, that has been approved by the Planning Commission. That was the final approval for the site plan. That was approved with a lot of conditions. So they still have to meet all those conditions, most of those conditions, before they can get a building permit. One of those conditions is approval of that stormwater management plan.
Okay.
So any project that gets reviewed and approved has a number of steps to go through. There's not just one approval. There's a number of steps leading up to the time they can actually build something, whether it's a grocery store, a single-family home, or a school. It's all the same. You usually get some kind of zoning approval. Then you get your building permit. Then you get your occupancy permit. So you can actually, you know, tell the bank that this is mine. We can use it now. That's the occupancy permit. Each one of those steps often have conditions, getting the DNR approvals, making sure the stormwater management plan is correct. And like I said, that happens for subdivisions, it happens for grocery stores, it happens for schools. So some of those approvals have been obtained, in this case, the site plan, with a lot of conditions. And most of those conditions have to be met before they can get their building permit. Then there's also this natural resource special exception to fill in the wetlands. The stormwater plan is actually like the bridge between the two. This approval tonight still goes to the Common Council for final approval, but this is for filling in the wetlands. The site plan was for building the building, and the bridge between those two is the stormwater management plan. If they don't get approval of the stormwater management plan, they can't proceed with anything. They can't fill the wetlands, and they can't build the building because it's related to both.
Okay, as I said, there's still information missing, though, right?
Yes, but again...
What's going to happen to the stormwater?
Correct, but it's common. It's common that information is missing because it's approved with conditions. So before they, because the main thing is the building permit. Lots of projects, I shouldn't say lots, some projects get these approvals, these zoning approvals, and never happen. Sometimes it takes years for that project to happen. It's a really, the real significant step is a building permit. That's where they've got detailed plans approved by the state, approved by the city. They have the consultants and engineers all ready to build the stuff. That's really where the rubber hits the road. Before they can do that, they have all these conditions.
Okay, well, the how they build the building is not going to affect us. All this is, right? This is directly going to affect where we live. And there's a lot of people here that it's going to affect. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's not a common thing to us.
Right. We understand that.
They would start a project before you have all the answers to address, you know, the issues that we're bringing up. All I'm asking is that you wait and get us all the answers before you proceed. And what about the trees? Are we going to lose trees?
So there's a couple related issues. There's trees all over the site. Not all of those trees are protected by the city. To be protected by the city, it has to be a certain size of trees, a certain number of trees, and within a certain distance of one another. And then when they meet all those criteria, then the city protects those trees. So they are impacting some of those trees. They're also impacting, when I say impacting, removing. They're also removing some of the trees that we don't protect. So some of the trees that are between the two wetlands, you know, the one that's to the north, the existing wetland to the north, and the wetland to the south, between those, there's a part in between there that's not protected by the city because the trees are too far apart. Some of those are coming down, some are staying. But we don't control that. The ones that I've been pointing out through my staff report and at the last Plan Commission meeting are the trees that are immediately east of, right there where they're showing it with the laser pointer.
Between our property and
a portion of, yes.
Okay. And when I'm sitting on my back deck and I'm looking out now, I see these beautiful trees. Okay, am I going to still see them?
Some of them. They're going to save some of them, but not all of them. And they're going to plant some of them back. So there will be more vegetation there because they're going to plant trees and shrubs. So they're removing some trees, and they're saving some trees, and they're going to plant some trees. In addition, they're going to plant some shrubs.
Well, plant the trees take a long time to grow.
Correct.
And I'll probably be gone by the time, you know, any of the trees get tall enough for me to see. So I just, the plain question is, am I going to be looking at a school parking lot instead of the trees that I'm now looking at?
To a certain extent, yes, because it's some of the trees will remain, and that will partially block the view, but some of the trees will be removed, and so you will see some.
The place we live is called Tuckaway Shores. You don't want to get it on Tuck.
But it's,
and the shores, you know, we need the water for the shores. There's a lot of animals that live where we live, too. It's not just humans, okay? So I'm thinking about them, too. There's waterfowl.
Oh, and before I forget.
Wait. Okay, first of all, Mr. Groves, you've had probably 15 minutes. So
want me to sit down?
Well, I'm just asking for your finishing statement or question.
Well, that was it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because some of your other neighbors, I'm sure, would like to speak. But thank you. But let me make an overall statement. The only way you can control what trees grow on what property is if you own the property the trees are on. It's very difficult for us to sit here and say, you can't cut that tree without having a good legal reason to say it. So that's just the honest truth, right? Ma'am, please. Raise your right hand.
Karen
Misshaver. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And your address is?
8330 South Tuckaway Shores Drive.
Please.
I'm one of two owners on the lake whose property has been getting closer and closer to the lake edge. It's getting very, very close. And so what my concern is, you project 30 minutes going to 8 to 10 hours, or whatever it exactly was, but I don't believe anybody ever knows for sure what that's going to be. So what if it's a little more? What if it's significantly less? And that, in fact, affects the level of our lake. At that point, if that does happen and it's determined that it's different than what was projected and expected, does our association have any recourse if our lake is dramatically affected by what happens here? We're going on good faith and trying to trust the engineers and all the information you're telling us, but we know life isn't perfect and things happen. This is a huge thing. So do we have any recourse?
Mr. City Attorney.
In the general realm of things, local governments under state law do have certain immunities, et cetera, but in general, if somebody commits a negligent act, they did something wrong, violated their professional standards or the like, and that causes damages, in general, there's liability there in courts. But if there's no negligence, nothing was done wrong, then there's no liability.
Can there be something written into the specifications or the plan such that right now the projection is going from 30 minutes to 8 to 10 hours, but if it varies, you know, more than 50% by that the city will, or the school, whoever's responsible,
will take appropriate action to remedy that. You know, proactively build something in to say, let's forget the negligence. Let's look at doing our due diligence and looking at what can we proactively do to address these things.
I defer to the engineering realm and DNR jurisdiction in that regard, because they have all the standards and considerations along those lines, to me at least as a non-environmental engineer, seem to be common sense practice and a regular occurrence. So I'm assuming all those things would be looking at, and the assistant city engineer is nodding her head.
You can say yes before you can say I'm not answering.
No, I...
Madam assistant city engineer.
I think people are focusing on this 30 minutes and 8 hours, and I'm not sure if that was discussed last time or if people are being general. The MMSD requirements, DNR, you know, state law, city UDO, talks about flow, which I don't want to, you know, get into the heavy discussion, but it basically says we can't overwhelm downstream systems, meaning we couldn't suddenly send 1,000 CFS to your pond if right now you're
cubic
getting...
cubic feet per second.
Right. It's a flow. It's a volume over time. That's what they have to meet. There is no... Yes, MMSD talks about peaking at a different time, but that has to do with way, way downstream, like the river and the Oak Creek. That's not something that anyone should be focusing on, because that's not going to affect this group. They have to meet the requirements of the flow. MMSD won't let them put a shovel in the ground without it, DNR won't, and the city won't. It's the flow that we should be focusing on, and that's what we are focusing on. And it's very clear, it's written out, they have tables, they have models, that's what they have to meet. There is no, you know, if it's 50% over or under, it's very clear, black and white, what they have to meet.
How do they know if they're meeting those specifications, and if they do find they're not, what do they do about it? I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, they have to meet, and that's the standard, and then everybody goes away, bang, on to other things, and then what happens with this? So how do they know they're adhering to the specifications decided in advance, and then what do they do if those are not being met? How do you know? Are you maintaining that flow? Is that happening what you projected?
After everything is built, they do a very detailed as-built survey of everything.
Okay.
That includes model, that includes new contour maps, and I mean, and we don't let it slide if it doesn't meet. If it doesn't, they go back out. They adjust their outlets. They re-excavate, and there are going to be a lot of facilities here, and everyone will need to meet. Someone had called thinking there was an issue at another school, and we actually called Mr. Cloutier, and he was so quick on it. It turned out there wasn't an issue, but within a day, he had his men out there verifying there was no issue, and that was at another school. I was very pleased with how quickly they took care of it, and I would assume that that would continue once construction is done. He's very responsive.
That's very good to hear. My last simple thing is, what can we do in the future to ensure that there's better communication? That isn't one unit over there, one association, 155 owners who pay property taxes, but only, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, I'm guessing, got letters about this issue. So what are we doing to proactively prevent that happening in the future?
Well, the city staff behaves according to ordinance, and the ordinance dictated who got the letters.
And
as opposed to the entire condominium association. The city attorney.
It's a distance from the area, which is the subject of whether it's a zoning application or the like, and
it's 200 feet from the boundary, right?
500 feet from the area to be rezoned or the area affected.
Well, I'll just leave a comment that I don't think that was thought through in terms of what was practical. It might be 500 feet, but considering 500 feet from there is a lake that all these other people live on, it wasn't thought through thoroughly, so maybe the ordinance needs to be visited, but thank you for
We get
time.
It. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Please raise your right hand.
Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Oh, yeah.
Please state your name and address.
My name is John Paul Greco, 8432 South Tuckaway Shores Drive. Anyways, I have a picture here that I took about 2 years ago, and I'd just like to know which of these trees are going to be affected. I took it from about 500 feet above the ground with unmanned aerial.
Oh, you were the guy.
Yeah. I'm not hearing about that. Anyways, I got a picture on my cell phone here, and I have a very large photo that it was for today. And so I was just worried. I don't see the trees. I don't see, like, this. I can see that. But I can't, like, see, like, this on there. I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, which ones.
Mr. Cloutier.
We also made a landscape plan. Trying to help.
And again, the monitors will give you a better view.
The monitors will give you a better view. Now, first of all, let me move this over a little bit. Here's the legend. Okay? These are all existing trees. So they're lighter. They're here. Well, in particular, everyone's interested in the property line, so I'll show you that. How's that? So as you can see, these are all new trees down here. Trees, existing, trees, existing, shrubbery. New, existing. That's a lot of trees. Well, understand, too, that there are trees on your side of the property line. There's a number of trees on that side. Approximately how many? I mean, what the distance is before the road? From the property line to your road is... Yeah, there's a tree line on your side. We promised I'll cut your tree line.
All right, wait. Let's not have back and forth here, including you.
So I hope that helps. But this is the landscape plan.
Do you plant more trees in that area? A bit more separation?
Well, that's already quite a few trees.
Okay, I decided.
I'll leave that up.
Is that it, Mr. Greco? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. John Kenny?
Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And your address is?
8340 South Tuckaway Shores Drive.
John, your last name again, please.
K-E-N-N-E-Y.
Thank you.
My question is, all I've heard was about flow, this and that. Our unit is only 4 units wide. I believe, and I lived out here 30 years, I believe this was supposed to be an 8-unit building, but they could not build the other 4 units because there was underground springs there. Is there any possible way to know any of these underground springs are going to be disrupted? And the second part of my question relates back to what this gentleman just said. The trees on our side are far and few in between, granted by the city and by the association. I mean, they're 100, 200 feet apart on the city side. So there isn't that many trees on our side of the road. But I'm concerned about the springs.
Want to do it?
I can try. I mean, if it's underground, a lot of houses in Franklin have drain tiles running right into them. I mean, you know, people whose sump pumps run continually, you don't know what's under there. There's already a school on this property. Granted, things are moving. Yeah, you can never say for sure what's going on under the ground, but that's just not something that's controlled. I'm sure if they would hit something, they would know it, and they would have to put in proper management of it, but it would be the same as hitting a drain tile, which are all over Franklin, and every subdivision hits when it goes in.
Mr. Kenny, is your concern that your springs continue to be springs, or are you concerned that the building impact may have...
My concern is when, I don't know if they're put piling in over there and whatnot that could maybe change in springs. I don't know if it's feasible that you can find out something like that could happen that alters the water flow out of them springs.
So let me take what you just said and see if I can fashion a question for the assistant city engineer. Would construction on the school site cause a spring on Tuckaway Shores property to change?
I mean, it'd have to be a spring that runs under both properties. They do soil borings throughout the site before they can build, so they know where their groundwater levels are. Franklin has very high groundwater levels wherever you go. So obviously they're planning for that, but I couldn't tell you if there's a really high spring that runs from the school to your house.
Right now, what's the other four units that's not there is a parking lot. Evidently, when they built that building, the city or somebody told the builder that you can't build there because there's springs.
So maybe they, the city maybe should have checked the boring there or have some information about. I don't even know if it was ever talked about. Because all I heard so far was flow in, flow this, slow. But there's a possibility that there's this underground flow that we know is there. And is it going to get altered somehow? That's I only wanted to raise that point to make everybody aware that there are springs there. And if it gets altered, our concern is the lake. And if that dries up or gets contaminated bad, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people looking at the city.
Thank you, Mr. Kenny.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anyone else?
Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Could you each please state your name and address?
Matt Kulka, 7979 West Forestville Avenue.
Linda Petrano, 7485 Carter Circle North. So I don't live close. He's my brother, and he's got the place directly east of the school.
Go ahead, folks.
First question I have is, You talk about the permits, having the building permits. You don't have to get a permit to start digging in the wetlands. Am I correct?
No, you're not. Mr. Deagle.
I'm not correct?
Our rules require you need a permit before you can dig in the wetlands.
That's city rules?
Yep.
DNR,
you can't fill in a wetland. Even if that digging out a hole and somebody falls back, DNR won't let you do that. But if you wanted to scoop it out and none of it falls back, you could do that.
So your permit then could be issued without the stormwater?
Which permit?
Your permit to dig. You have to have stormwater, discharge point, all that. You have to be satisfied with all those things before you issue the permit to start digging. Is that correct?
You may be mixing a couple of things or anticipating a step. What I've been talking about so far is the building permit. So that's where they can actually start the construction of the building, which would include footings and foundations, anything like that. There's a separate permit that the engineering department does, a land disturbing or soil disturbing permit. That's up to the engineering department, and they'll consult with us. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes somebody will pull that permit first. If they would try to do that, we usually just use a blanket setback of 100 foot or something like that. If they don't have all their permits for filling in a wetland or disturbing the wetland or stormwater plan or something like that, typically it's 100 foot or 200 foot away from all that stuff. Only those areas could they move dirt. But we don't do that very often. But so that if you're thinking of that, yes, there is a separate permit they could ask for, not asked for often, and then we would set some kind of setback in addition to all our other normal setbacks. And then it could partially move for some of the sites, some of the dirt, yes.
Thank you. And I will, before I go on, I want to say that planning has been very cooperative in terms of sharing information. We met with Carl, Chris, as well as Joel, and walked around the properties and got all the theoretical assumptions as to where the water's going to go and what the flow is going to be and where the berms are going to be. So we do have information. But I've heard it asked over and over and over again, so I just want to clarify about if indeed the mitigation does not work and there is indeed damage to Matt's property, which is directly east of the school. Just so I'm clear, it's my assumption that even though the engineering department said that the school district is very proactive in addressing issues, you said that some occurred at another school, that's all well and good. But the bottom line is, as I understand it, if those problems aren't addressed, and if they persist after 3 years, no one has to do anything legally, correct? Mother Nature takes its course.
I don't know where that 3 years is coming from.
What do you mean by 3 years?
In the event, first and foremost, let me back it up. So in the event there is more water on the property, if there are problems on the property and the berms don't work as they're supposed to work, is the homeowner's responsibility to prove that there's something wrong, that the water on the property is worse? I know all the folks from Tuckaway Shores have been talking, but they're concerned that they're going to lose water. The concern from the neighbors directly to the east,
they don't want any more water,
is that there's going to be considerably more. In the event you change the flow of the water from coming down hard and dissipating in a few hours or a few days, now it's going to be considerably longer for that to go away. For example, when we walked the property with the engineers, there was a huge rainstorm on the 26th of June, big Wednesday rainstorm. And by Friday when we walked the property, it was a little bit moist, but it cleared itself. It probably went down to Tuckaway Shores. However, if you're changing the flow, is that going to stay on the property? And if it does, it would be the property owner's responsibility to say, hey, there's a problem here, correct?
Well, I'm not an engineer, but it depends on which way the water flows. So if Matt's water flows to the east and something changes to the east where it continues to stay on his property, that's not the school district's problem.
That's, water's coming from...
I understand that, but if that water flows west to east, as I understand it.
Yes, correct.
Because I've seen it, but yes. So if they berm it and move it so it farther south...
Well, they're just slowing it down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Slow it down or move it, whatever. Then... if Matt's property gets more wet, I can't see how that would be the school district's issue. If it gets less wet, which would be a problem for the Tuckaway Shores folks, that's a different issue. The bottom line is, there's specifications. If they don't meet the specifications, well, then it's up to the engineering department to work with you folks, and then whatever action needs to be taken legally or otherwise. But the city attorney asked, where did you come up with this 3 years and what was that about?
We're talking to different folks. I mean, we actually, I don't know if you recall, but we spoke to engineering and we talked to planning and I got it there. Plus, you know, I went through and read DNR permitting and things of that nature.
Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Dito was raising his hand.
Oh, I thought you were wagging me.
And
Dito.
Just
after this.
In 27 years of doing this job, I don't recall this ever becoming an issue. And for many of those years, Franklin was a substantially developing area. But there are 10-year statute of limitations, 20-year statute of limitations, and I'm not going to say that those apply, but they exist in the Wisconsin statutes, and they do apply for real estate issues. Also, if there's some lack of compliance where some process was permitted by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and then there's a failure to comply discovered, I dare say that the department would be able to enforce that.
Mr. Deal.
I believe she's getting the 3 years from the mitigation. She asked me questions about stormwater management and mitigation when she came to the office, and I suspect she's confusing the two. So the city does require time frames for the mitigation. So when they're going to plant these extra trees, when they're going to create that new wetland, we require, the city typically requires a 2 or 3 year time frame where they have to ensure that that stuff they planted is really thriving and growing. In this case, it's going to be 4 years. But that's just for the mitigation. The new trees they plant, the new wetland they're creating for those things, not the stormwater management. Sarah would have to talk on the stormwater management. I'm not aware of any time frame for that.
No, that's continual, especially now. I mean, we're a municipal separate storm sewer system. We're an MS4 community. We have to follow all of these. I get calls from residents saying, you know, this pond looks like it's filling in, or this pond isn't functioning like it is. We go out, we visit it, we look if it is. If it's not, it has to be fixed, or the city will fix it and bill homeowners. I'm just saying that's something that's rare, but these things just don't go away. There's long-term maintenance agreements, and these are contracts, they're legal documents, and they have to be followed.
So you just said, I just want to be clear, because clearly I misunderstood when you spoke. So it doesn't apply to the stormwater, and the stormwater is going to be diverted with the berms and everything else.
When you say it, what do you mean by it?
The water is not going to flow the way it is flowing right now. It is going to flow differently to a certain extent. It's my understanding that there will be less in the front of the house, mm-hmm. and the vast majority that would have gone to the front of the house is going to go to the back, to what's referred to as the creek, but we've always called the ditch. So I was kind of concerned that it's going to become a creek, and as a result, you know, take away property that's usable right now. Again, nobody's trying to, you know, be a devil's advocate here, but the bottom line is we have to know, it seems to me that if indeed this stormwater diversion does not work and the property is altered to the point where some of it's unusable or worse, there's no recourse.
Correct. Mr. City Attorney.
I think that's been answered a few times here. One, if there's some negligent action by somebody.
The key is negligence. Excuse me for interrupting, sir. The key is negligence. I want to believe that everyone's acting in very good faith here, with all due respect. But when we did the walkabout, for example, and I said, what if there are problems? The engineers didn't share very much, but the school district, the district manager indicated, well, you know, we'll take care of things. And Mark suggested, oh, you know, we may or we might. And I might be paraphrasing there, but that's the take I got. And that was followed up by, we've had other problems at schools before. Ben Franklin, for example, there were all kinds of people who were complaining about Ben Franklin, but those people aren't around anymore. And I thought to myself, did they just move? Was there a problem? I ride by Ben Franklin on my bike, and I see houses there with not one sump pump hose, but several sump pump hoses. Right now, Matt's got one sump pump hose. What if he has to have more? What if there are issues? The bottom line is, it seems to me that there is no culpability. And I don't, in the sense that if indeed something does go wrong, if the school is not negligent, if no one is negligent, then it's too bad, so sad.